So, are you worth your salt? Well, where did that saying come from anyway? Back in the Roman Empire, a soldier that wasn't worth his salt wasn't paid. The Romans served out rations of salt to the soldiers and civil servants. These rations were called by the general name salt or sal if they were paid in salt. But if they were paid in money, well, then the stipend usually went by the name salarium, from which we get the word salary. Anyway, having salt meant you had power. Entire empires were built around salt in West Africa in the 1200s and 1300s. Salt could be traded ounce for ounce for gold back then. Why was salt so valuable? Because it was an effective preservative for food. We take preservation of food for granted now, every time we put food in the fridge or freezer. But back in Jesus' day, his disciples had to deal with how to prevent decomposition of meat. They added salt because it has antibacterial properties, so it inhibits the growth of bacteria which can spoil food. When salt is introduced to meat, the salt absorbs the moisture through the cell walls, which results in the death of the bacteria. Now, Jesus' disciples knew exactly what he meant when he called them the salt of the earth. They, as well as we today, are to hinder the process of decay in the world. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Let's look at that first part of what Jesus told his disciples. You are the salt of the earth. Now, we don't have to look long before finding examples of moral decay in our world today. Paul wrote, "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Plenty of decadence was going on already in the Apostle Paul's day when he wrote this, but it's even worse today, we're told. On our path through life, there is a new opportunity for moral decay at every turn. A policeman in this city once told me not long ago that if the common citizens of Eau Claire only knew the amount of drug trafficking taking place in the big high schools of North and Memorial, then the community would rise up as a whole and do whatever it takes to stop it. And even for us today, in our own homes, it's hard to escape the temptations brought to us through the popular media of TV and the internet. We are told that the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. And this is becoming more and more apparent. And the last thing that Jesus wants us to do is to blend in. Instead of blending, Christ has a role for us in this world of decadence. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." We must do the work of preservation. We must point out to others what is not God-pleasing in this world, and we should teach our children to do the same thing so they can do it when they're older. But did you get the warning attached to this passage? If we lose our flavor or our distinctive Christianity, we become worthless. We are no longer an effective preservative. Our distinctive Christianity, that's what we've been given by the Holy Spirit. Whenever we point out error, we're not putting ourselves on a pedestal in a holier-than-thou sort of way. We are putting our Lord on a pedestal in a loving sort of way. We are to proclaim Christ and His coming and to do it out of love. It is inspired by the love He has for us. Jesus wants us to lovingly live as a Christian. And in so doing, we will be the preservative He wants us to be. Question: can we go too far in our saltiness? Sure, too much salt will ruin the meat. We are to be careful in our approach to preserving the world. The Puritans used to punish those who didn't go to church. They had a do-it-or-else practice, and it led people to do the right thing for the wrong reason. The Pharisees also had rules upon rules upon rules that forced compliance among its membership. So again, they did things, the right things, for the wrong reason. A balance is called for when introducing salt. You see, we have to remember that we ourselves need salt. We are infested with the bacteria of sin. Its effect on us is so pervasive that it can dominate all we do, say, and think. And its burden and guilt can overwhelm us. But our personal salt is our personal Savior, Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. His salt thoroughly searches out each individual bacterium in our body, right down to the tiniest cell in the smallest blood corpuscle. It is His saltiness that actually gives us our saltiness, so that we're equipped to combat perversion in our world. Martin Luther was a fine example of the salt as a preservative. He spoke out against the errors he saw in the Catholic Church. He tried to cleanse it with Scripture, and it wasn't always easy. And 500 years later, we are to do the same. As the Apostle Paul urged Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. When I look out in the bleachers, I see a lot of different personalities. For instance, some of you are bold. You speak out when you feel strongly about something. There's evidence of it in the classroom and on the athletic court or field. You speak out. For those of you that are bold, let Christ use your boldness as a preservative in the world, much like He used Martin Luther. But keep away from that ditch on the far right, that ditch of legalism, where the Puritans and the Pharisees operated. Use your salt, but don't pour it on too heavy. For those of you that are quieter and wish to lead by example, go ahead and do that. That's great. Go about your life in a God-pleasing way, out of faithfulness to Him, loving Him with all your heart and with all your soul. But stay clear of the other ditch, that one on the far left, that ditch of tolerance, where you're too afraid to speak out. And then, sooner or later, your morals become compromised. There comes a time when you just have to speak up. You have to stand for something or you'll fall for anything, as the song goes. You should stand up and speak up for Jesus. Why else are we here, after all? So, are you worth your salt? Jesus thinks so. He loves you enough to have died for you, and now He calls you the salt of the earth. He equips you with what you need to say, so that others may come to a knowledge of the truth. So, don't try so hard to blend into this world. Stick out a little bit. Let people see and hear who you are and what your heritage is. That heritage of which we sing, like we did yesterday at the Reformation service, to the tune of A Mighty Fortress.